Fifthly, the fifth reason why I'm not a Roman Catholic is because of the sacraments. And I read to you again from Vatican II, which was 1962 to 1965. And in Vatican II, they reaffirmed, and here's what they said. They said, if anyone says the sacraments of the new law are not necessary for salvation, but that without them men obtain from God through faith alone the grace of justification, let him be anathema. Quote, that's exactly Roman doctrine that they do not, they aren't ashamed of, and they don't veer from at all. That is what the Roman Church believes. Look at Titus 3, 5, just as one of many examples. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's salvation. How do you get it? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not by works of righteousness, as in the seven sacraments. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Spirit. Titus says, how do we get it? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according, what? To his grace, by faith that we receive in Christ. Not by sacraments. Not by, as Vatican II says and affirms, that this sacred council proposes that the decrees of Trent are true, and that the Eucharist and the sacrifice of the Eucharist, the work of our redemption is accomplished. No. The work of our redemption, mine and yours, is accomplished by Jesus Christ alone, not by a sacrifice. Well, real quickly, number six. The sixth reason why I'm not a Roman Catholic, and for those of you that always tune out until something new happens, this is new, okay? Number six is because of purgatory. And I want to explain to you how horrible purgatory is, because some of you are going to go to funerals, and you're going to be there for someone that you love or a friend of someone you love, and they're going to be having a mass for that person that died to help him out of purgatory. And everyone's going to stand up, and they're going to start filing forward, and you're going to be at a moment of truth. And I'll tell you something. It is wrong for you to participate in what they're doing. It's not wrong. You can go to a funeral. You can go to a wedding. But when they get up and down and do all their things and march forward, you should not. Why? Because what they're doing is wrong. And if you go along with them, you are affirming what they're doing. You're affirming their error. Don't be disrespectful. Don't make a face and, you know, do something to upset them. Just reverently stand there. And if they ask you afterwards why you didn't go, explain to them. And I'll explain to you what's wrong with purgatory. Vatican II, this is what they said in 1962. And this is the church today. This is the Roman church. Everyone says Vatican II changed everything. Vatican II changed nothing. They just painted the building. That's all they did, made it look pretty. They didn't change the insides, their doctrine. Here's the doctrine. Sins must be expiated through the sorrows, miseries, and trials of this life. Otherwise, in the next life, through fire and torments, because our souls need to be purified. In purgatory, the souls of those who died in the charity of God, truly repentant, but who had not made satisfaction with adequate penance, works, penance, with adequate penance for their sins and omissions, are cleansed after death with the punishments designed to purge away their debt. And those are the documents of Vatican II, Volume 1, pages 63 and 64. You can go get them at a library. I'm sure they loan them to you at St. Francis down here. That's what they believe. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying that you have to pay for part of it. There's a hymn in our hymn book that's based on the scriptures. It says, Jesus paid it all. If we sing it like this, Jesus paid it all, now I have to pay the rest myself. No. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
It says that Jesus, in fact, the Bible says this, Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins, by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, Hebrews 9:12, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When you talk to Roman Catholics and say, are you going to go to heaven? They go, I don't know, I'm not sure. They're telling you the truth. They don't know. Why? Because they're not sure that they have suffered enough in this life. They're not sure that they have done enough penance and done enough good works. You can't get to heaven by good works. One of the best sermons I ever remember on this is when Bob Vernon, the former police chief of Los Angeles, was standing up here in this pulpit a few years ago, and he was going, and said, you know, here's God, and here's all of us trying to get to God. You know, and some of us, we only do a little, and Billy Graham might go closer, but none of us can make it to God, no matter how good we are. And the scriptures say that Jesus Christ, once for all, sanctified us, Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he perfected forever those that are sanctified. And Catholicism, or more properly, Romanism, denies that doctrine. Now let me ask you, I started out with Galatians 1:6-10. Is Romanism teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is Romanism teaching that Jesus paid it all? Is Romanism agreeing with the Bible that one sacrifice forever paid the price of sin? No. No. Although Rome teaches that there must be a purging by suffering for one's own sin, it offers indulgences to reduce the suffering and eliminate some of it. Indulgences can thus discharge what Christ's death could not. And in Vatican II, there are 20 complex rules telling you when and how indulgences may be obtained. Now, an eyewitness report. I see Paul Hassel up there. Paul and I took our picture by a door in the Vatican. That every 50 years on the year of Jubilee, they open it. And if you walk through that door, you get an extra 120 years out of purgatory. Can you imagine that by walking through some door in the city of Rome that's only opened every 50 years? Did you know if we had that door back here, I'd leave it open all the time. Go through it all you can if that's true. Why would you shut it and make it only available every 50 years to people that come on pilgrimages? I mean, if the Pope really can dispense indulgences, why doesn't he give them all out to everyone? It's really hard. It's really sad. Well, it says also in Vatican II, the faithful who use with devotion an object of piety, and they designate what that is, a crucifix, a cross, a rosary, a scapular, or a medal, after it has been duly blessed by a priest, can gain a partial indulgence. But if this object of piety is blessed by the Pope or a bishop, the faithful who use it with devotion can also gain a plenary or a full indulgence at the feast of the apostles of Peter and Paul, provided they're also making profession of faith using the approved formula. You know what all that means? It means if you just buy one at the bookstore at the Catholic Church over here, you only get a partial. But if you'll get a high up person to bless it, you'll get more credit. Do you know that's what Martin Luther broke with the Roman Church over? It's because it was told to those dear people in the Dark Ages that if they would spend their last money to come through and see the relics. And did you know every Roman church in the whole world has a relic under the high altar, under the place they do the Mass? Every church has to have a relic under there. I'm not sure what they have here. It usually has something to do with the name. So maybe whoever Francis of De Sales was, there's some part of his body, a bone, or some object of his over there. But there's a superstition attached that you cannot actually have the grace of God unless this relic's under the altar. And if you take a compendium of all the Roman relics in the world, they have, now this is just a partial listing, 3 completely preserved right hands and index fingers of John the Baptist. 3. I only have 1 right hand and index finger. That he pointed at Jesus Christ when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There are 2 completely preserved skeletons of one of the apostles. 2 of one of the apostles. But the people don't even know that. And they come before an altar that has this relic underneath, and they don't even think twice about it, that that's paganism. That's the idea that some object has some holy attachment to it, and that holy attachment sanctifies the place, and therefore if you're inside the place, something good. And that's why sometimes we have services outside. And that's why we'll have our sunrise service off premises. I want you to know you can have a service other than with holy hardware around, and you're still in touch with God. You can be baptized in a swimming pool, in a lake, or in the baptistry. It doesn't make any difference because there's no holy water here. There's just the Holy Spirit filling Christians that testify of Christ. And that's what's wrong, because purgatory, the whole concept, was built to keep people in bondage to the church.